Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jimson and Roscoe show with no Roscoe. Roscoe's going to Hereford, so yeah, no Roscoe. It's just me and Addy Roots,
yes.
A.K.A. Twisted Roots.
Hello.
Feels really weird, one person clapping. Normally I get the like reverberation of Roscoe clapping.
Okay.
Let's both clap. Yeah. Yay!
And Roscoe's here in spirit.
He is. He was. Do you know what? He was supposed to send me some questions. Let me check whether he has or not. Oh, yeah, he sent me a voice message.
Has he? Okay, let's listen to it.
Let's listen to the voice message. Whoa, wait there. Oh, there's fucking notes. Three good... Before I do that...
Yeah.
We will start the show. Three good things that have happened to you today.
Okay, I do this every night. Today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on the way, I was driving here, and I took a wrong turn, and I decided to turn around, and another car was coming, and I was mindful in the moment, and the man in the other car said, "Excuse me, mate, this is a effing main road." And I was mindful. I didn't let it upset me, and I just carried on my way. So that's one good thing.
Win-win.
You could say that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
You could say, but I'm choosing to take it as a good thing.
Yeah, there's a lesson. Be grateful for everything, even the lesson. So if something's bad, treat it as a lesson.
Because it's a chance to practice not being distressed by things. So that's one of my things, definitely. And I think there's obviously a limit to that, because like, imagine if I'd like bashed into his car.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be as good.
I mean, they say as well, don't they? They say you've got willpower fatigue.
Yes.
And they say you can only have... So that each person's like productive... Mm-hmm. At different points of the day.
Yeah.
It's working out when you're best productive, and you've generally got about 2 hours of productivity. And outside of that, just fucking like
do other stuff,
which
it wears
less,
down. Which is so sometimes I'll put myself in difficult situations to test how I'm going to react to them. Mm. And I find at first it goes really well. And then after a while, I kind of lose it and I kind of digress. Whatever the word is, back, and I can't do it anymore for a little while.
Yeah,
I suppose it's like physical training, isn't it? You can do
you're training a muscle. Yeah,
but after a while, you need to rest so it can grow again. But anyway, that was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other thing? I meditated for like an hour today.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do long meditations often, or is it usually like
only when I've got the time? I don't often have the time, but when I do have the time, I find them really useful. And then what's my third thing?
What position do you sit in on when you're doing a long one?
If I'm quite awake and quite with it, I'll just lie down.
Okay.
If I'm a bit tired, or for whatever reason, if I'm a bit tired, I'll sit up straight stop me from kind of falling asleep.
Do you do that even if it's short as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Can't think of a third thing. That's not very good, is it?
You're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I learned about that thing that guy was saying. What was it? Mushroom. Underground.
Oh yeah, the mycelial passage. Network. Yeah,
mycelial network.
Talking of mycelial networks, when you said about the when we were talking about the willpower just then, something I learned the other day was and they showed it on like a pretty video as well, so it made it sink in more. And like when your brain is recreating new neural pathways, if you do something once, you'll get like a strand, like this pathway, but it'll be temporary and it'll go and it'll disappear.
Yeah.
So the second time that you do it, it'll come back
stronger.
And it'll get stronger until it like permanently etches into your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It was like really interesting. I was like, okay.
And that's how destructive behaviors can be manifested, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, have you ever had an experience with OCD, like where you have to do something?
Yeah, my missus gets it a lot. She has like certain ways and certain things she has to do.
I used to get that a lot all the time, and I think that's like a pathway in the brain, isn't it? Like if I do this, then this other thing's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then if you can kind of rewire it, then you can notice the behavior coming to the surface, and then you can just kind of ignore it, and it weakens over time.
Yeah. So when did you start? Let's go into your background actually before we start fucking diving at the deep end, because anyone who doesn't know you, we met through music, innit?
Yeah, man.
So,
So,
a little bit about your background, like where you're from, like your upbringing, and like what led you into music.
So I was born in Clapham in London, and both of my parents have had issues, and they weren't able to raise me. So I ended up, well, they raised me for a little while, and then I ended up moving in with my grandparents, and then eventually they moved down to Wiltshire. And I think because I'm also, I'm mixed raced, which is not obvious. I think as a way to connect with that part of me in an area which is mostly white, I kind of got into music because it was like a thing that I could connect with. And yeah, so I think I first became aware of you when I was looking for people to make music with down here. And I saw you on MySpace.
Yeah, big up the MySpace days.
And I remember, because I think you were doing quite well. Like, you had a video on Channel U. Did you have a video on Channel U?
Nah.
You had a video or something, and not many people had a video at those times.
Nah. The first video we had was...
You'd done something. We did, maybe you performed somewhere.
We did, with YMP, I know Lodos was doing videos. Like, he had, like, a trailer for... What was the first we did? Like, the trailer for the Takeover?
Is that this song that they did?
No, there was that one. That was like, I don't think I'm in that video.
You're not in that video?
No.
I would have remembered that.
Like, there was that, but like, I don't know if it's prior. No, yeah, no, prior to that, there was like, he'd done the Takeover trailer and that.
Yeah.
And that was like, Michael Jenkins, that was his, then I got him coming on later today, but that was like, I think his intro into video from music.
Well, whatever it was, you'd done something big, and I remember I messaged you. I messaged Lodos as well, and probably Roscoe, lots of people, and you didn't reply. I don't know why. I'm not holding it against you.
Okay? Edge you.
But anyway, yeah, I messaged loads of people, and then eventually kind of... Who replied? I think Lodos got in contact, and yeah, and then I just started making music from there. I think I was probably a bit rubbish at the time, though. As we all are at the beginning.
We all are, aren't we, fucking when we start? Because what Roscoe said the other day, when Marky was on, and Marky was interviewing us, and he said about Bebo, and he said that we were, like, really big on Bebo as YMP, I think.
But it's,
and you go on from there. Because, like, well, most of my Waste of Air LP... It was all recorded at your nan's, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
And Miserable times. Music.
Miserable Music.
Yeah. But it's, so when your nan moved down here, you actually lived in London with your nan prior to that?
Yeah.
How did you find the transition from, like, Clapham to West?
Well, I was quite young. I was about 10. So, it was a big transition, but it was, I think children are kind of quite resilient, isn't it? They can just change.
They're the fastest learners, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to, like, this, I've been following this course. I remember Jim Quick, the guy's name is, and he does like speed reading and teaching people how to like memorize things. And he said the best way to learn something is to learn like a child. So, like, create like silly stories and silly pictures in your head like a child would. Yeah, attach it, like, I mean, it's like, so you've got like this thing called like the sun list. So it's like one is sun, two is socks, three is traffic lights, four is, car, so you've got doors on the car. Five is I forgot what five is. Memory's not that good, but do you know what I mean? It's like it's five is star. So he goes, with that, like, if you want to replace one, you can like replace one with something else. If you need to remember something in order, you can like associate that. And then, like, there was another one he'd done, like the periodic table.
Okay,
so it was like fucking like a story for each, like, one to element, like, remember the top row. I was like, oh, fuck me, you just memorize the periodic table. Like,
it's wicked.
Like, actually knowing the periodic table. Like, but yeah, it's like, that would be like a child like way of learning, isn't it?
I think another really good thing to learn stuff is to have like time in between when you're doing it. So instead of doing something for like an hour, do it for like 10 minutes and then stop and do it for 10 minutes. And it comes back to that pathway in the brain, isn't it?
Because
you keep
it.
Making it stronger. And
Because you teach.
Yeah.
What ages do you teach?
So primary school is reception year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6.
So you and your permanent, what, have you got a permanent year?
I had year 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But I'm doing supply for a little while now, which is cool. So I'll have year 2 and then I'll also have 4 and 5, okay, which would be cool.
how do you find being a supply teacher? Because I remember it, like, when supply teachers were coming in, it was like, yes! Like, to me, just like, well, it was, like, unruly. But saying that, that was probably more secondary school.
Yeah, secondary school. Because even me, like, as a shy kid in school, even me, I was, like, naughty for supply teachers.
Yeah.
But I think in primary school, kids are just, I don't know, as long as you've got good classroom management, they'll be all right for you, really.
Yeah.
But then again, there will be classes that are just, they won't. And you've just got to be okay with that. And then that can be one of my three things on my list that I didn't melt down in a lesson when all these children weren't listening to me.
Yeah. Because this, when Carvel came home the other week, he was upset. Like, the supply teacher, she's not a supply teacher, but she's like the assistant teacher.
The teaching assistant.
Yeah, so she's TA. Like, she's there, but like on a Friday, his normal teacher's not there anymore.
Oh, okay.
But he really liked her, and then he got upset because some other girl like had a stomach ache.
Yeah.
And then he said that he had a tummy ache earlier on, but she kind of overlooked it. But then when she had it, like, she proper like gave.
Oh, the girl, so she like, wasn't consistent.
She wasn't consistent. Yeah,
that's and, like, important.
He, like, come home, and he was like, he was being like really off when he got in the car.
That's so important, being and consistent. Yeah. And it's hard though.
Yeah, that's why I said. Like, so when I was in the car, I said to him, I was like, when he finally come out and he was like all tearful and he was like fucking really pissed off with this, like, he's like, I hate her. I hate her. He's going, I was like, oh.
How old is he? What year is he?
He's six.
So he's,
he would have been like your sort of like.
Yeah, you're one or two. Yeah.
He's year two. So he's,
yeah.
With that, like, I was like, okay. And I was like, I tried to explain, like, she probably didn't mean like to mean like, but like, I struggle sometimes with just you and your sister.
Mm.
Imagine fucking a class full of like 30. He was like 32 actually.
Wow, 32.
So
wow.
I mean, like, imagine like a class like 32. It's like, wow, like, we think that's something magical for a teacher to be able to hold the attention of 32 children.
Yeah.
Without doing it under some like draconian fucking law of like.
I think kids do respond well to routine. So if you've got a few ways that you get their attention, so I do count down. So 3, 2, 1, or 1, 2, 3, look at me, or whatever. Or there's another thing I do is I do a clap. I go clap, and then they have to respond and do it as well. And then they. Mm. But you can only. They're children, so they're only going to. Give you their attention for a little while, because you can't expect them to sit there and look at you for like an hour.
Yeah.
You've got to mix it up, really.
I mean, you can't really get that from adults either. Like,
exactly. Yeah, I would zone out.
Because it's because we don't like the school system.
Mm.
How do you find the school system as a teacher?
Yeah, I mean,
like, do you find like the curriculum is doesn't give you enough freedom as a teacher?
I think because I'm quite early in my career, I'm still grappling with being able to deliver it properly and as good as I like it. But I do think, because I always hear people say about school, like, oh, why are they teaching these kids how to... why are they teaching these kids about history when they should teach them about this other thing? But at primary school in particular, I think it's about giving the children as much... like variety and introducing them to everything, history, RE, everything. But I suppose what you're saying is the curriculum is quite like prescriptive,
rigid. Yeah, so it's not like you can't like deviate off it. Like, so for example, if like in the real world, you'd be like, I don't know, say you were studying, like, let's take history for example. Say your topic was ancient Greece, but then something come up like as a side note from ancient Greece.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay. And then it's like, let's delve into that because you all seem to be interested in that. It's not, it's like, no, come back here. We're only doing this. We're doing this. I mean, it's like, there's not so much freedom of like, okay, or how it's taught. So example, I find like, I say maths. Maths very rigid. Like, okay, like, this is the way we teach it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like alternative ways of teaching it. It's like, so one kid might not understand on that, so there's no like, it seems to be like, no, this is the way we're learning it, we're learning it by this method and you have to like grasp this method, which I kind of understand. It's like, but like that child might not grasp that method first, that child might need to learn the other method before coming back. It's like, oh, okay, now that method makes sense.
Yeah,
it's like very rigid. And I actually don't quite agree with when people say like, oh, they should be teaching them like life skills and cooking and stuff. It's like, well, there's always been like the role of the parent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you should be teaching your skills. Yeah, yeah. I do think financial education should be taught in schools. That's one of the things I think they should add.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I've spoke to a lot of people now. It's like, it's come up on the show because we're on about taking the Carve out and homeschooling them. It's like, just really like thinking about it now, like in next year.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people said, like try another school first. Because the school, it's like there's no artwork on the walls, and
really?
Like, it just looks like they're excellent in Ofsted. But then for someone to say they're excellent in Ofsted, it's like the amount of homework and shit he's coming in with. Yeah. It's like they're not so much exploring arts and stuff. It's very maths, English, like, do you mean it's like,
okay.
And he had like a D&T book. We went in to look at the books, and it was like D&T, and I was like, do you know what D&T is? It's design technology. It's like,
what was in the book?
It was just like some like little pictures, like, have you actually done like,
did you make anything?
Did you make anything?
Did he make anything?
No.
What?
No, he said, no, just to do that, like, some cuttings and that. I was like, what the fuck? Like, you mean, like, it's the same with science, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think, like, I mean, the problem with main institutions of science is, like, they get the bloody getting paid by whoever's funding the course, and there's no, like, let's just question something to fucking question something, and, like, do you mean? Which is what it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's science, isn't it? That is what science
is. Someone sat in a field, like, fucking, do you mean? Newton, fucking the apple falls, like, oh, I wonder why that happened. What's holding us to the floor? Like, do you mean? It's like, just fucking question it and then try and, like, figure out if we're wrong. But, yeah, I don't know. I just find, like, and I look at the teachers in that school in particular, and they all like seem to be ground down. It's like, I remember last year on the parenting from speaking to her, and she was like, I was trying to like find out about his emotional, social development and all that, like how is he in peer groups and like all that. And she just kept trying to brush off to like just tell me about how the targets he was hitting for like
math.
He was like, fuck, he's five. Like, do you mean? It's like, he's not like studying for like his fucking. Oh,
that's a difficult one. I can imagine though where she's coming from, because there is a lot of pressure.
And
some parents, like parents vary so much, just like the children. So there are some parents that will come in and won't want to hear about the other stuff. They'll just want to hear about, is he on target?
Is he getting
with this?
Grades?
Yeah. Even at five.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So she doesn't know who's like what you're like when you're coming.
Yeah. And the worst thing, it was over the phone as well, because you wouldn't like to go and see him.
Yeah.
Because it was last year for the.
Over the phone. Yeah. COVID. I did some of those as well.
It's just like, the trouble with it is, at the end of the day, you're putting, this is in a state-run school.
Yeah.
You're basically fucking giving the government freedom to fucking educate your child. And the government fucking don't really have the best interests. Do you mean? I don't find.
No.
It's like, here you go. Here's your one size fucking fits all.
Yeah.
But yeah. So where you're teaching, do you find you have more freedom?
Yeah, I do. But also, to come back to what you were saying before about if you're teaching one thing and then you find that the kids have an interest in another thing, I do think that there is, I think in primary school, there's room to do that a little bit. And I think it would even be encouraged in some schools. But I think there is the certain things that you have to cover.
If
you do delve off into something else, you might not have time to cover those things. And then you'll be in trouble then, because you haven't covered.
What the fuck have you been doing? You're supposed to be fucking.
They wanted to learn about TV.
They wanted to know about fucking, I don't know, fucking in the night garden. What do you mean fucking in the night garden? So I thought I'd give them all mushrooms. But yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what you say, because you obviously need your fundamentals and your fucking.
And there is like, that's really important as well. Like the things, like early reading and stuff like that is so important. And it's really, as a teacher, it's really nice to see that knowledge growing from a kid. Like a kid that couldn't read and can now read is like so.
Because
rewarding.
We've noticed it come out, it's like recently, and like he's getting a lot quicker for ages.
Is he?
Just like, it was hard, innit? It's the, you know, it's like when you try anything, innit?
Yeah.
You fucking start something new and like, it's all clunky, and like even driving a car or whatever. And then before time, you just do it. And like, try to say this to Carver. I'm like, fucking, like, when you get to the point and you can just like, look at a sentence and you like absorb the sentence.
Yeah.
You're not even looking one word to one word anymore. You can kind of go boom.
Does he decode it? Does he sound it out?
Does all like, but like now he's started to get to the point where he'll like look at words like and.
Or and he knows them already.
And they're regular ones now. Yeah. And it's starting to like sink in. So it's like the and like, and then if it's a longer one, it's like, but it's like trying to like find ways to encourage him to be his personality type, to be more. You can do it.
To be more positive.
Rather than like, oh, I can't do it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Like that mentality.
That's difficult.
Which he's kind of got.
I'm surprised that, because you're quite positive like that. But
yeah.
But I think that kind of disposition grows over time, because I think we've all been like that.
Yeah.
We?
Yeah.
And I think it's something that you need to, like you were saying with Lodos, how did he become so conscious? He was taught it.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with that, isn't it? Like, it takes a while. And yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe he sees that in other children, or I don't know really, but I'm sure.
Yeah. Because I suppose as well, it's hard because you get like kids coming in, don't you? And they, you could have a kid who's born in like September.
Yeah.
And you can have a kid who was born
in August or something.
It's like they're like a year apart. And the development, because Clivell's May, so he's like, he's so on the other end of it. He's not like quite August, but he's still, but then you say like you've got someone who's born in September, they're like,
it does make a difference, definitely.
But
with the reading thing, the way to build up his fluency, and it's, I suppose it's if he wants to do it or not, is to, and it feels a bit boring, and it kind of feeds into the prescriptive thing of the curriculum, but read the same book a few times, and then he'll, because he's decoding the words at first, but the second time he reads it, it'll be a bit quicker, and then the third time, and then he'll start to sight read it.
I suppose like music as well,
like, for sure.
You don't just like, well, you'd have to be fucking really good, but if someone just plunked a fucking like, do you mean prank some sheet music in front of you? I was like, go on, then. You're like, what keys in? And you're like, you're going to have to fucking play that through a few times.
I'd be like that a few months later. I'm grade three piano, and I'm still like that anyway.
But. How did you, do you still have lessons?
Nah.
You don't? You just do it?
I don't even do it.
Are you not?
I had lessons. I started when I was about 15, and I had this really old, really cool piano teacher, and I was really into it, and I started it because I wanted my beats to be better.
Yeah.
But I wasn't practicing.
Yeah.
And she knew as well. Like, I'd go there and she'd be like, oh, let's see how well you've done. And I try and blag it, and it'd be like, dun, 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 dun. It's like, have you practiced? Yeah.
Every day.
And then eventually I was just like, I just started telling the truth. She was like, have you practiced? And I was like, nah. And she was like, okay, coming in. And then I did that for a good few years, you know. That was a waste of money.
Because I've been practicing, I've been doing it for a while now, but I've been doing it all on, like, with Playground Sessions, which is like an online, like an app.
But that's the amazing thing about the time we live in now. We can learn anything.
Yeah.
And people, like, I don't know, even just a decade ago, would have paid like lots of money to be able to use these apps that we're using now. So
yeah.
I do like taking on new things to try and do.
Wait, I hold that thought. I need a piss.
All right, mate.
Yo, I shouldn't
have fucking had that, see?
You're
right. Oh, mate, that was a quick piss.
I know.
Did you do it in your trousers?
Yeah. I didn't make it. Fucking, my daughter did it earlier, man. Fucking, she pissed on the fucking sofa yesterday, so we took the covers off. And then today she tried to get off and she didn't get off quick enough again, and she'd done it on like the white cushioning.
Oh, no.
Where the things are drying. I was like, oh, no, nightmare. But yeah, no, I've had my piss. I'm better. Like, yeah, I had two coffees before I come up and I just had that tea and I'm like, fucking,
mate,
shit.
This morning I had a cup of tea, green tea, another cup of tea. Because I was meditating, innit?
Yeah.
I told you I did the hour. I actually did about like an hour and a bit. But I just kept drinking. Broken. What do you mean?
Because it was like you're broken. You have to keep getting up, go for a piss because you drank so much tea.
Well, I kind of... I did like a 20-minute one. I did a... You do Headspace, don't you? Or you
no.
used to?
I use Waking Up.
Okay.
By Sam Harris. But I started on Headspace with Andy, and then he just got very
repetitive,
boring. Yeah.
But in general they're about 20 minutes long, so I drink tea when it's cool, and 20 minutes is about time, and then I just down it and then meditate.
Yeah.
I don't do that all the time, you know.
I generally do 10 minutes. The longest I've done is like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I've never done like an hour one. My mate was telling me to do. He went down to the was it the Hindu center or the Buddhism center? There's one in Bath. They've got it's not simple. I guess it's Buddhism, like that they do. I think. I don't know. But I was talking to a taxi driver the other day, actually, and he was a Hindu.
Really?
And he said he'd just come from the temple, and he was like, yeah, look, there you go. Because I was saying, like, I do yoga and whatnot. And he was like, why? He goes, you're a better Hindu than me. But he said he'd just been to the temple. He had the mark on the forehead. What's it called?
No idea.
The bindi?
I don't know.
He had that. Anyway, he'd just gone in there, didn't they go around and give him all the dots on the forehead or whatnot. Like, symbolize your third eye, I guess, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I suppose it would be.
But yeah, he was saying, I said, how regularly do you go? He said, well, he tries to go weekly. I can't remember what day he said it was. But yeah, it's interesting because, like, Hinduism and Buddhism, it's like not something you associate so much with going to temple and practice, or something I didn't think of before. I was like, oh yeah, I suppose they would do. Hinduism's the fucking, like, the oldest religion, isn't it? Recorded religion that we know of.
Yeah.
It's like fucking, yeah, it's like ancient. Buddhism's just like a byproduct of it, isn't it?
I don't really know much about them, really. I know that they have the Buddha, and he's... Oh, I can't remember some of his quotes.
Well, he was Siddhartha Gautama.
Okay.
And he was born into a family of extreme wealth. He was like a prince.
Oh, I think, yeah, go on.
And his parents kept him away from suffering. Didn't want him to see people getting old. Like, if the horse was, like, getting sick or old, they're like, quick, replace the horse with another one and shit like that. Like, I mean, it's like, he was just, like, anything, like, he was in a bubble, shouting.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think it was like he was playing outside, and one day, like, was it the ball or something went over the wall?
Yeah.
Or something went over the wall, and he, like, got out the grounds, and he seen, like, all, like, the destitute people and the sick, starving people in the streets, like, do you know what I mean? And, like, those times, and he was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, there's people, like, really suffering. And then he, like, went on this whole pilgrimage of, like, and he put himself through, like, massive strenuous things of, like, starving himself, meditating under the tree, like, do you mean, like, abstaining from so many things and all that, creating all this own inflicted suffering on himself. And figured out, like, the life is suffering, and so, like, find meaning within the suffering type thing.
That kind of comes back to what I was saying, isn't it, about, like, trying to put yourself in situations that are a bit challenging.
Yeah, yeah. Because you see some of these monks, innit? They do, like, fucking a whole lifetime of, like, not speaking, I mean, and shit like that. Because Andy from Headspace did that, actually, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a Buddhist.
He did, what did he, 5 years, didn't he?
I think so.
He said he was only supposed to go there for, like, a month. I listened to him, and I don't know if he says it on the app, or, like, I listened to him in an interview, and I remember him saying he was only supposed to do it for, like, a month silent retreat.
Yeah.
He ended up there for 5 years or something stupid. Mm. Like, I mean, it's like fucking wow.
I think I use it as a tool more than a lifestyle. Like and I think I've heard Alan Watts talk about it. Like, you meditate just to meditate. You're not trying to achieve anything.
No, yeah.
But I'm trying to achieve something.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's different. Like, is that different from what Buddhists are doing? I'm trying to achieve like happiness and calmness, really, in everyday life. I'm not just doing it to just do it, because I feel like,
well,
I don't know if that would be a waste of time.
Because Sam Harris, that's the one who's got the Waking Up app, which is the one I use, and he actually has a lot of guest meditation people on there, and he does theory as well. It's not just meditation, he has theory ones. And actually, the other January, the whole Alan Watts collection will be on Waking Up app.
Okay.
The entire recordings of Alan Watts. Like, he's actually, like, officially with Alan Watts' family.
Really?
So that'll be on there. And Sam Harris is actually an atheist.
Yeah.
He's not a monk. He's very much from the approach of meditation can make your life better.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a tool. Like we were saying earlier, you go into a gym to, like, build your muscles.
Yeah.
He says you're training your brain to be more mindful through life. So you're just not going through life like bins ain't fucking, like, oh, fuck's sake, like, fucking, oh, fuck. And before you know, you're not, like, seeing it around you, like, your kids are, like, trying to show you something, and you're like, fucking, oh, no, fucking hell. Yeah, your mind's somewhere else all the time.
Yeah.
That's basically his fundamental thing of it. But he does have, like Taoism teachers and shit, like, on his app. It's a really good one. I find
I might
it because it's like a lot more, like, depth and scope. And he's even got David White, who's a poet, and it's just him reading out his poems on for, like, one of the sections and shit. I mean, but he does, like, the metta, loving kindness as well. Every time, and so you get your daily meditation, which is a daily guided meditation. Obviously, you got your normal timer on there. Then you got courses on there. You got, like, a guy who, like, specializes in stoicism.
Okay.
So he does, like, that. There's the headless way, where the guy, talks about, like, imagining, like, not your what you see as the world is where your head should be. So, like, this is like your head type thing. It's like on the snap of your fingers, like fucking, yeah. It's that one took me ages to wrap my head around.
Yeah, so we've spoke about that one before, yeah. But I still don't really get it. I might have to spend
for
some
me
time
to try and explain it.
Yeah,
it's hard because it took me so long to
get it yourself.
Get my head around. What I was like, what do you mean, fucking see my own head? I can fucking see my own head. But then, like, he'll also say things that remind you. Then, like, when you're getting angry with yourself, you're like, fuck, I can fucking do it, and then you get winding yourself up trying to measure. It's like getting angry. It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm not doing it properly. I can't focus on breath. Like, and you get across. It's like, well, then you the goal is to notice. Or listen to I'm feeling that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling angry about this. And then to notice that you're feeling angry about trying to meditate. And it's like, oh, do you mean?
Yeah.
It takes fucking ages though, doesn't it?
It does. And there's, it's not like it's a fix all thing. Cause sometimes I'll be so at peace. And there's that saying about control what you can control and let go of what you can't control. Sometimes I live that and I've got it locked. Like I'm not controlled. I'm really at peace and I feel like I've nailed it, and then other times I like fall to pieces and I do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would that, but meditation is the only thing that has let me feel that I've got it locked, even for a little while, even if it falls apart other times.
Yeah,
it's like I forget it all.
Do you know, I've read a really interesting quote today by C.S. Lewis.
Okay.
And it said, if you notice that day to day nothing changes, but look back over time and everything's
changed.
Different.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same, I suppose, what you just said then with meditation. Do you know what I mean? It's like we don't notice the day to day.
That's so true. Yeah.
But then
true.
You look back, like you're saying then about the being able to notice yourself in these situations or whatever. Mm-hmm. You look back and you think, fucking hell. Like,
it's
I
true.
Used to be fucking so anxious about certain things or whatever. And it's like now, like it's like, oh, I'm feeling that. What do you mean? It's like, it didn't happen all the time, but like it's fucking a lot better. And you do, but it's over time, isn't it?
Yeah, because even me, like 10 years ago, I was like an anxious bundle of nerves.
Mm.
And yeah, you're right, actually, because compared that to now, it's very different.
Yeah.
And maybe that comes with age as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
But then if you were to look at yourself meditating yesterday, meditating today, it's like fucking nothing's changed.
Yeah.
But again, it's a small thing. But then saying that, I think it's really helped me to be able to do small things each day. Because in the past, I've always been one of these people. It's like, I want results when I want results now.
Mm.
Why am I not getting results?
Yeah.
It's like, you've just done something. Like, to me, it's like
really
appreciating that things take time.
Mm.
And it's the small things each day. For example, like, I know you're learning French, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I had to go on that Gaelic Scottish.
Mate, it's awful.
<You're> like, <"Fuck."> I left it, man. I'm actually doing Arabic now as well.
Arabic's
so I'm doing
wicked.
Spanish and Arabic.
Nice.
But like that, for example, of like being disciplined to just do, I do 10 minutes on each a day.
Yeah.
So like I do 10 minutes on Spanish, 10 minutes on Arabic. I set a timer. So instead of to-do list now, I do like time boxing.
Nice.
So in the calendar, I'll put my to-do list, so to speak, in the calendar, but I don't do it so it's like I'm ticking off a tick list.
Yeah.
So instead of that, I've just time boxed it so it say like mix a song or record a song or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'll give the time for it.
Yeah.
And if I don't complete it in that time, I don't get all like fucking worked up because I haven't ticked off my
so
to-do
what
list.
Happens?
You just do as much as you can for that hour. And then you'll like schedule it again like a week later, and then you just constantly, it's always like revolving.
Yeah.
So you just do as much as you can, but the idea is to just focus on that task, what you're supposed
really
to be doing.
Yeah, that's a good way to do
it. And you actually, I find you get more done because you're not like, I've got this to do, this to do, and then you start jumping from thing to thing because you've got to like do them all.
Do.
It's like, well, no, between this hour and this hour,
I'm doing this thing.
I'm just recording music, and that's all I'm doing. Phone's like on do not disturb.
And you're, I suppose you're not thinking about the outcome, really.
No.
You're thinking about the process.
You're thinking about it, but that's what you're doing. It's like, well, whatever I get done in that time, I get done in that time.
That's wicked.
So I think that is also been meditating. It's taught me to do that, to help with that, rather than like, oh, I'm not getting there, I'm not doing it, I'm not getting the results. It's like, well, just do a bit each day, and be patient. That's probably what I'm saying, is fucking
be patient. Be patient and focus on the process, which is something that I think we all forget sometimes. I know I do.
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up with like, well, I want this, what's the next step?
Yeah,
I think that's part of us as humans though, isn't it? It's like we always want more. Like, we always want what's, do you mean? It's like, well, I've achieved that, so what's next? Which is good and bad. It's the perception of how we look at it, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I achieve something, I don't really dwell on it for very long, and I'm straight on to the next
thing. Yeah.
which is quite annoying, and it's quite bewildering for other people who see that, because they'll see me really care about something and then it's achieved, and then I'm like, I seem to not care about it anymore.
And it's I think that's, again, it's good to take time to reflect, but like, well, hang on a minute, like, look how much I have achieved.
So true.
And I watched a little clip of Lauryn Hill talking earlier.
I saw that on your thing.
And what Charlamagne put, and I was like, yeah, it's like, no, you don't know me, because I didn't know myself then. And like, you could see someone like 5-10 years later, and I said, what about, like, just like, well, you didn't expect that person to change. The person's so forever changing. It's like, you should be trying to grow. And there was another one I seen with about how you can't always help people and pull people up to their next level of their life, but because there's some people just don't want to, and you can't, that can't be forced, but a bad person can always
drag you down,
drag down a good person. That can always happen, whether the good person doesn't want to be dragged down or not.
So what's the solution to that? Is that just to know who's bad or who's
who's
bad vibes?
Listen to your gut, innit? I suppose
the gut is important, man. Like, the as I've gotten older, listening to my own intuition or the gut or whatever has become something that I really believe in now. And you can get the gut feeling mixed up with just fear, can't you?
Because
sometimes it's like getting out of your comfort zone is scary, and you might feel like your gut is telling you not to do that, but I think that there's a difference. Do you think there's a difference?
I think there is. I think it's I don't actually think it's your gut that's telling you not to do it. I think it's your head that's telling you not to do it.
Which one?
When the fear kicks in. But you've got the gut feeling.
Yeah.
So you're feeling the gut feelings.
Yeah.
Because the gut feeling doesn't talk to you in words. Like, your brain talks to you.
Yeah.
Your head talks to you in words and reads dialogue to you. And
do you have
thoughts.
The...
So you get a gut feeling.
Yeah.
So your gut feeling is like an emotional feeling. So there's a gut feeling,
and then your brain interprets,
but your brain's telling you no. So you're thinking, oh, my gut feeling may be telling me no, but your gut feeling is obviously telling you to do that. Like, there's the thing in there, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yes, yeah, I love that saying.
But like, I think it's like there's the mix up between your head and your gut, where you're just trying to be like, no, don't do it. Your ego, or your ego, so to speak, saying, don't do that. Like, everyone's going to laugh at you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to make a fool of yourself. And then your gut's like, really, like, because what do they say? It's like, there's no difference between where you feel fear and excitement.
Yeah.
Excitement and fear are felt in exactly the same space in your body. So, yeah, I think, because it is your brain, like, is easily to talk you down from
out of things. Yeah, like, even coming here today, I was a bit like kind of nervous, and my brain could have easily said, like, oh, don't bother, don't do it, just like you could go to the gym or something instead.
Even mine was, because it's the first ones today. I'm doing them on my own, like, normally I've got Roscoe there, and it's like, do you mean, it's like you just bat some shit off between each other and you think, oh, fucking hell, what if I don't know what to talk about?
What I thought would, what I was fearing would happen was I'd come here and then not have anything to talk about. And then, but to get over it, I thought, well, if I come here and I've got nothing to talk about, what's the worst that's going to happen? Is Jimson going to say, all right, well, let's turn it all off, you could go home now? And I thought, like, well, that's probably not going to happen. But even if it did happen, I would still be alive. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know that out of all the episodes we've done, the only time I've done that is when it's just been me and Roscoe.
But you guys
after have... for about 40 minutes. But that same day, we've recorded with three other people or whatever, three other episodes. Then it was just me and him talking. And it's after about 4 minutes, I'm like, fuck it, let's do it. That doing it. Fuck it, doing it. It's like, we've already been talking, like, with each other and with other people. It's like, what else do you mean? But like, but like, when there's someone who's coming on, you're going to talk to them
About stuff that's individual to them. Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Because there was something I was going to go back to then about teaching. So, like, intuition. Do you, obviously, because you're dealing with kids who are still in the very early stages of life. Do you, trying to think of the question I'm trying to ask. It's like, it's about intuition, noticing the intuition in children. Do you, like, obviously, because kids are all different, and it's like, do you think all children are sort of born with the same power of intuition, but it's like, then you notice it? Because I've noticed it around that sort of age with Carvel, like, they then start doubting stuff because you're getting pressure from watching other children. Do you notice, like, are there ways that you kind of combat that and try and uplift children who may be more anxious as opposed to ones who are like very, very on the other end, very confident. And for example, like with Gravel, like how we all be like, oh, I'm no good at that. Like, do you mean? And that's his head talking.
Yeah,
that's not his his gut talking. That's like we were just saying. Like, do you notice different children? Yeah. And how are there ways? Do you even get taught how to deal with that as a teacher for your teacher training, or is your teacher training mostly this is how to teach fucking the 5x table?
Well, to answer the first question, I'm really aware of that because I was a kid like that at school, who I was a quiet kid, and I was really nervous to stand up and do stuff, and I would look at other children and be like, oh my god, they're much better than me at this thing. So I'm really aware of that, and I really do try and make sure that I can uplift them, and the way I do that is just lots of praise. And also I don't force them to do anything. Like, I would never force a kid to come and stand up here and perform your piece of writing you've done, and I make sure they know that they don't have to do that, and because of that they eventually come up and do it. Do you know what I mean? And not always, but most of the time they're not being forced, so they feel comfortable to come up and do stuff. And just giving them time and recognizing them as individuals, and that's I don't remember that being taught really. But I think it's something that I just have because I like people. I'm an introvert. I'm so introverted, and I love time on my own, but I love people as well. I find people interesting. And so that's just something I do naturally. But as far as being taught it at teacher training, I can't remember anything like that really. You have something called the teacher standards, and I think there are 8 standards that you've got to do, and it's like classroom management, plan interesting lessons, wider school life, and it's all these things. And I don't know, maybe there's something, but I can't remember anything.
So you have to plan your own lessons. It's not like it's not kind of structured. You still, it's like these are the topics. You still have to plan how you're gonna
teach them. Yeah, but I mean, different schools have different amounts of control that they have over things. So like the school I was at, I planned everything from scratch, like English, and because of that we could then kind of mix everything together, and English could be then, if we were doing history that week, we could then bring it into English and write about what we were doing in history. But then some schools have like a really strict thing that they want you to do. And as a teacher though, that can be quite nice because then
it's done for you.
Yeah. And as much as you want to be like an amazing creative teacher, like on 9 o'clock at night,
yeah, it's tough. You know what I mean? It's like I was trying to say this the other day. It was someone about the balancing the rules with breaking the rules, so to speak. So you need boundaries. Without boundaries, whatever it is in life, whether you're an adult or whatever, like just as people, as a society, you need boundaries.
Yeah.
And I know that some people are like full-blown, like fucking freedom, no boundaries, do what the fuck you want.
It's not
like,
really realistic though, is it? I don't think.
I mean, you do need some boundaries. And it's like, okay, and this boundaries, we can expand the boundaries and make you as much comfort you to be free and express yourself as much as you want within these boundaries.
Yeah.
But there are certain like boundaries within life that that keep things moving. It's like, imagine if everyone could just fucking do what they want whenever they want all the time, but fucking chaos.
I thought about that though, like how crazy that would be. Like, you'd just be driving down the street and would someone just drag you out of your car and be like, I want that car.
Do you know I don't think I said about this, like if society was to collapse, which I don't think is actually that far off, like,
but like, you're bigger than me, you could just take all my stuff.
Yeah, but then I don't think I wouldn't want to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, and then like the way I look at it is like, when you look at like the places that have come under like natural disasters and shit, you don't like see like them all out looting and fucking robbing the remaining things. They generally band together and be like, people, shit, those people, like there's someone drowning, they're right, okay, let's hold it together, we can build a shelter here.
Yeah.
So I think people are inherently good. I just think in times of when people've got more, they then become bad,
selfish.
And there was a thing I seen the other day about Christopher Columbus, when he got to the Americas, and he was saying about the Native Americans, and he was saying the writings that he wrote, like, you should read it, it's so fucked up. So he's writing about how these people are the best people that he's ever met, and they're so genuine, so kind.
The people that he encountered when he went to
the Native Americans, he said they were like, he said they're the most friendly like basically saying like, these are the most friendly people, they will give you, they will share anything with you. And like Jimini's like, and he goes on to like praise these people, how beautiful, and he goes, these are really the most nicest people that I've ever encountered on the planet. And then the last paragraph, he like goes, I reckon we could control them and use them as servants for about 50 men. There's a fucking, like, Jimini, so he's just like, he's wow. and then it's like, yeah, we can control them with 50 men. It's like, oh,
my God.
Like the insidious like side of like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's the trouble. It's like, I think negative emotions are always more powerful than positive, maybe. Like when we go back to like saying about trying to lift someone up, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, do you mean it's like there? It's like these people like are on that. Like, so Christopher Columbus couldn't be lifted up into their place, but he was fucking very.
He
easy
was bringing
to
them down.
That fucking
oh my
society
god!
Down,
yeah, that's
I mean?
The point, man.
So yeah, I don't think if society collapses, which I think it will collapse.
Yeah.
In not that many years' time, I think.
Okay.
Like the economy and the way the world is, I think that it's due to implode. Yeah. I think something different will replace it, and I don't think it all. I don't think it will be like all out Mad Max. Do you know what I mean? Generally, fucking societies band together.
Yeah.
Small communities come together, and they generally are good. I mean, if you go back to like what we were like as fucking hunter gatherers, like, do you mean? Like, I think it would probably fucking get rid of a lot of people that are fucking really lazy and do try to just come along for a free ride, like, and just like fucking around, basically only for their own gain.
Yeah, because you couldn't really be like. Be that way, could you?
Not in like a doomsday fucking scenario or like, do you mean? It's like, no, you kind of need to be like, there are times that you need, because otherwise people will. It's like, do you mean? It's like you will quickly be fucking outcasted from people because you're taking the piss. When people are like left themselves for a small community to fucking run it, I think you'd be like, oh, fuck that. Like, do you mean? And you do genuinely, well, I think, but then we've kind of live in a world where it's a few people fucking running the show for everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Jeff Bezos, like, is fucking hell. Like, how in tune with like his like Amazon delivery driver is he?
Yeah, not at all.
Like the CEO of fucking Amazon, who's like fucking flying into space and like, do you know what I mean? It's like, some factory worker. Like, do you mean he's like for people like that? But like, go back to your gut thing as well. The other day, Gabor Mate. You know Gabor Mate?
I've heard of him. Who is that?
He was in the second zeitgeist. He's like he's an addiction specialist, like therapist, who's like. Addiction and trauma is like his special field. Fucking really interesting guy. But he was in the zeitgeist. He was talking about the ADHD.
The what?
He was talking about ADHD.
Oh, ADHD. Okay, yeah.
And about how it's like a lot of it is societal and it's not an actual fucking defect with a person.
Yeah.
I mean? But he was saying the other day, he said, as science has proven now, we have three brains.
Really?
Your gut. Your heart and your brain. He goes, this isn't just some fucking like philosophical thing. He goes, like, they all talk to each other. So your gut, we all know now that the gut biome,
microbiome,
is like directly a trigger as how fucking happy you are in your head. So I mean, he said, like, we know now that we've got three brains. So your heart, and he goes, you get different feelings from each one, and like science is like now trying to measure these. And then he also said about love. He said, there is no, you can't put love in a test tube. He said, but like in modern science, love doesn't exist because there's no way of proving that it exists. There's no like, do you mean? There's no way to measure it. There's no way to measure like fucking how much love. And he goes, but you name me a mammal that doesn't need love to survive.
Yeah.
Penguins are fucking mammals, aren't they? I'm going to make myself look like a twat now.
I don't know, but yeah, probably.
But like, do you mean like elephants?
Yeah, I get you.
Humans.
Would you
monkeys.
Say it's love though? That.
Yeah. Like as a human, I think you need love, praise, to survive, right? Because you're being praised by you should be around people that uplift you. You shouldn't be around people that put you down.
No.
And if you look at people that are constantly put down,
in
these environments, and they are a dysfunctional human. Do you mean it's like if you're born into like it's very hard to come from a fucking broken background and flourish without praise and trust and
without
love
something
and,
without some trigger, isn't it?
And it's generally a lot of these people, sadly to say, they're born into broken society, broken home.
Cycle repeats.
Yeah,
I get you. Yeah.
Where if you had someone who's like. Encouraged, loved, and do you know what I mean? It's like, it's okay to fail. Not like, fuck are you doing? You broke the fucking glass off the fucking side and like proper come down on someone. It's like, and they need it's only fucking accident. It's like, yeah. Oh, fuck's sake. It's like, all right, it's okay. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because everyone will probably will react. Well, not everyone. You might have some like proper like, it's okay. Straight from the get-go. But say like, I don't know, my child like broke something or smashed something. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck. But like, it's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Then you come down. It's like, okay, it's an accident. It's like, come and help me clean it up and like let them see us. An accident's yeah. okay. You're not going to be fucking punished and like go to your room.
But
you know
some
mean?
People are, innit?
And yeah. So, yeah. And it's, yeah, that can happen. But like, that's just like a normal thing to happen. But then if you've got like the, I didn't see it. Like, I banned myself from the news, but you might have been more clued up on it. But the child that they neglected recently that was all over the press.
Yeah, I tried not to look at any of that because that was really.
See, I only heard it from work. Like, someone like was talking about it like on break at work. Yeah. And yeah. Like, did you see the thing? I was like, yeah, no, it's. Cool. I was like, yeah, I fucked up it was, and it's like,
yeah,
yeah. Do you mean it's like in the depths, the insidiousness of like,
yeah,
some
man,
humans.
Crazy. But it's. I wanted to talk to you about affirmations. Do you believe in affirmations?
As in, like,
self-affirmation. Yeah,
manifestation. Yeah, I do. You know, we on the Louise episode, we spoke a lot about that, and
because this is what I wanted to ask you. So I've done them. But I thought a good experiment would be doing the opposite of them. So instead of being like, I am amazing. Mm. I am the leader of my domain.
Yeah.
What if you did the other ones?
Well, I'm a cunt.
Yeah.
I hate everyone.
I'm bad at everything.
My life is shit. But it's true.
What would happen, do you think? Because that would be proof whether they work or not, wouldn't it?
I think if you constantly did that and you said that to
if
yourself.
If you gave yourself a bit of time each day to say those things to yourself.
What, the bad things?
Yeah.
I think you would slip into depression. I do. I seriously do. I honestly think if you sat there every day and you like negatively, because we all negatively talk about ourselves in our head.
I know.
Without, and you this to catch, try and catch that and be like, no, stop that.
Yeah.
Like, you mean I'm great. Like, you mean
we've all got things that we're insecure about, or that we.
But then if you actively went out of your way to tell yourself that you are shit at the things,
and
that you
instill new ones as well.
Yeah. That I think. Yeah, you would like. Be in a life of despair and like and I'm anxious as fuck about everything. I think,
can we find someone to do that with? No, I'm joking, let's not do that.
Yeah,
no, but I've been.
Everyone does that. I reckon everyone goes to bed at night and everyone goes, oh, I could have done this better, I could do that.
Yeah,
like, oh, this situation here, right, I could do it. And everyone punishes, like I saw Stephen Fry talk about it, like even he does it all the time.
Yeah,
but I think if you're constantly talking to yourself in a negative way,
yeah,
you're gonna create like an internal negative self talk.
Yeah,
I think the hard work is giving yourself positive.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's where, because it's easy to speak
because you have to actively do the positive self talk.
It's something you've got to work. I reckon happiness is something you've got to work at.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just comes to you. It's just something you got to like work at, and you got to be right, okay, cool. How am I going to approach this?
Well, that's what stoicism is, isn't it? It's like learning to love what you already have.
Mm. Yeah.
Because marketing companies and fucking consumer companies prey on that psychology of a human. Because as a human, you always want the next thing, what we spoke about earlier. You always want what's over the fence. You like, achieve that, right, what's next? I'm on the journey, but like, I'm always looking for the result.
Yeah.
And that's how marketing companies, like, they play into that psychology. It's like, yeah, you need the new one. You need the new iPhone. Like, you mean, like, as a human, you're like, yeah, I need the new one. I need the new one. That's how we're programmed to think.
Yeah.
But stoicism is, I have that. And learn to love what you already have. Like, learn to crave the things you already have.
And then how do you balance that with ambition?
I really want my iPhone 11. I really want my iPhone 11. Do you mean it's like... I don't know. I think you can still have ambition.
Because then you just have a smaller, like, view of what you are ambitious about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's like... But then it's like... I suppose it's like, what are you... What do you want to focus on?
Yeah.
Because I think, like progression or whatever can still be... attained in such things as like, but then like not just wanting things because the sake of wanting things, do you know what I mean? It's like learn to love the things you already have, and then you wouldn't probably want to. I mean, you'd still want to, like, depends what you do, like say let's take an artist for example. You're going to want to create more art, but like you're not constantly like, I don't know, I need to fucking do the next one. It's like I think if you practice more stoicism, it's like, I love what I already have. So when you then create the new things, you're creating it with joy.
From a good place, isn't it?
Yeah, you're creating it. You're not creating it just to like, I'm going to create a new art piece and I'm going to fucking sell it for loads of money. It's like, I love it, yeah. Like the new Nas album. Have you listened to it yet?
Nah.
Mate,
is it rubbish?
No, it's really good.
Is it?
And it's like, you listen to it and it's almost like, I listen to it, it's like, oh, this guy's making hip-hop because he likes making hip-hop. It's like he's kind of like the, of all the most recent albums. It's like, well, he's been making hip hop fucking however long. Like, what was Illmatic? 95
or something.
Yeah, do you mean 94, 95?
I was thinking about this earlier because when I first started making music, I was making beats, and I think the main motivation was that I wanted people to know I'd made this wicked beat.
Yeah.
And if I made music now, it would be just to make it.
Yeah.
Whereas back then, it was mostly to be seen
and validated.
Yeah, be validated. Mm. And to have people being like, oh yeah, he's really good and his beats are really good and stuff like that. So yeah, I get you. It's
yeah. But like, if you're happy with it yourself and it's like the enjoyment of making the music and sitting there, or the journey of like learning to play the piano, for example, or learning a language.
See, that's where I went wrong. I didn't care about the journey. I just wanted
the grades. Yeah. Better at making beats. Well, like I've done it like, and again, I think the meditation prior to it of like becoming in that headspace before taking on these things. Because in the past, I would have never had the stomach or the fucking time to learn these things. But like, fuck that. I'm no good at it. What's next? I mean, give me the easiest, quickest thing I can fucking learn that gives me results. So I can fucking like give myself the satisfaction of like, I don't know, like, yeah, look how fucking good I am at that. And it's like, nah, like fucking, where's the challenge? Where's the bit that I have to fucking rock up each day and fucking and learn?
What are you learning at the moment?
Spanish, Arabic, piano.
But what piano song are you learning?
I just done a Christmas medley. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Silent Night and Auld Lang Syne. I did it as a challenge. Like I started mid-November learning the three of them.
And you can do it?
No, Auld Lang Syne I haven't mastered. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was the hardest out of all of them.
Yeah, I bet.
Because you got like fucking hand position changes.
Yeah.
And...
It's both hands at the same time. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, so you got hand position changes and the tempo's quite quick. I think it's 120 BPM on that. And then like Silent Night was easier, so I like pissed through Silent Night. It was like do 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 do, just fucking like it's so slow. And so like you do have a few hand position changes, but it's not nothing drastic. Where We Wish You a Merry Christmas, if you miss the hand position change, you're like, oh fuck, where am I? Don't go, and you're trying to fucking free find your place on the piano and you're like, oh fuck, you've lost it. But then Auld Lang Syne was the one I've been learning, so I need to practice that one a bit more. But I've kind of like lost interest because it's like, well, my holiday medley challenge is like,
there's no point doing it's Christmas songs now, is there?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like, so it's
although if you do, you'll be really good at them by next Christmas,
because like for the they're basically I did playground sessions, and the way that playground sessions work is you got a rookie boot camp, an intermediate boot camp, and then the advanced boot camp, and then you get like access to all the songs. I bought a lifetime membership on it, so I don't have to like, I can download 10 songs a month to learn, which I'm not going to do. It would take me about a month to fucking learn one song. Do you know what I mean? But like, they need to do different courses and challenges in between, which you get in a separate thing.
Yeah.
But the boot camp, I've got like 100% on everything on the rookie boot camp now.
That sounds good.
So I'm on the intermediate, but the whole of the rookie one is all one finger with the left hand and melody.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So the intermediate, I'm on chords now.
Nice.
So that's I mean, I've done like chords in the past, but like now I'm actually learning properly chords. So that's where the intermediate is, and then the fucking advanced just goes on to, but so that's where I'm at the moment. Immediate ones, Spanish and Arabic. I've just hit my 80 day streak.
Oh, I think I'm up to like 76 or something.
Yeah,
it's good stuff, isn't it?
It is.
I still don't feel confident to speak to anyone.
Nah, you're gonna go there. It's when they start talking fast, and it's like you think you know it, and you go, it's like they start speaking Spanish, and you're like, what? Yeah. But it's fucking. Do you know that they say for staving off dementia and the good for the brain, learn a music instrument, learn a language, meditation.
Okay.
Basically, all the things we fucking spoke about, like they are proven scientific methods to
It's weird that
when I was younger, all the games used to be like brain trainers, do things like that.
Yeah,
they were dodgy, weren't
they? But they know that all they do is you just get good
at the game, at that the game. Particular game.
Yeah.
But it still stimulates you, so yeah, it gets you to think about things.
It's
better than nothing.
It's
I suppose
setting to just like monotony and just you're not thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah,
I think you get to a certain age, don't you, and you either choose to try and like save yourself or not, innit?
Yeah,
I think. Because how old are you now? I'm a bit older than
I'll be 36 next week.
Yes.
Will I be 36 by the time this pod? No, I won't. What day is it? No, I won't. This will be out next week. So I'll be 36 on Friday for anyone watching.
When's your what day is that?
8th January.
I'm 6th of January.
Yeah.
Capricorn.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Well, you're the same age as me then?
No, I'm going to be 33. But I think the 30s are the times when you kind of get into a lot of that stuff, innit? Yeah. Sometimes. Not everyone, obviously, but...
Yeah.
Because then you kind of have a quarter-life crisis or a midlife... Not a midlife crisis.
Yeah. I think it's like you start realizing time's running out, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think like
I sometimes think I wish I'd been doing this in my 20s, but then I think maybe I might have got hit by a bus in my 20s.
Yeah.
You could die at any time.
I said that because learning about finances and stuff, it's like, well, okay, let's secure yourself a future and like save a bit of what you're earning. It's like, well, I wish I knew this then. It's like, maybe I wasn't ready to know that.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't ready to know any of what I'm doing.
I think I had to do all of the stupid stuff that I did.
But like I said earlier about the practice that I put in now has now given me the determination and the patience to learn these things and not be like, I need to get here or learn this or get to that level of whatever. It's like I'm just learning it because it's fucking enjoyable. I wouldn't have been able to do that in my 20s, because in my 20s I was still like, no, I want that and I fucking want it now. Like, do you know what I mean? If I can't get that now, I'm going to do something else and just fucking chop and change. I mean, it's like having the patience, you know?
Do you have Facebook still?
Yeah, I don't go on there. Instagram is all I pretty much use.
I don't really use it, but what I do use is I look at my Facebook memories and I get to see all the statuses I wrote from like 2010.
I don't have an original Facebook account, so my Facebook account is probably only about 3 years old.
Okay, but it's quite funny because it's a way to humble yourself, man. Like, I'm looking at these statuses and it's like, is bored, wants someone to talk to,
yeah,
and like, do you know what I mean? Or just rubbish song lyrics.
Yeah, but do you not I find that with like songs that I've made. So if I've made a song, it's like, oh god, like when I listen back to some songs and it's like, I don't actually hold them views anymore. Do I need to take the song off? It's like, you don't need to take the song down, because that song was like an imprint of time. Just like,
yeah.
It's like when I know that Kevin Hart, when they were trying to like the whole cancel culture thing, is like, needs to take back the statements, what he said, and you need to apologize. And he's like, I'm not fucking apologizing for something what I said when I'm 20. Yeah. He goes, I don't hold them views now. He goes, for me to go up and go, sorry for what I said then. He goes, no. He goes, I like to think I've grown as a person. And for someone to like tell me that I'm a bad person because I'm not getting up and apologising for something I said, a different version of me in a different point of time. He's like, no, it's like I've grown as a person. I don't hold them views now, and I don't do that now. He goes, I'm not going to fucking get up and make a public apology and fucking like... It's like, nah, fuck that. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I've grown. Can you not witness my growth? Yeah. Like, do you mean? It's like, and if you can't, then fucking you're probably just as fucking childish as I was back then when I was fucking saying it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah. That's...
Yeah. Right. We're on an hour, are we?
You are on an hour and 3 minutes. Cool.
What is your personal meaning of life?
Personal meaning of life. I don't know. the first thing that jumped into my head was to be happy, but I don't think that's the correct thing, because we were talking about like finding happiness in like suffering kind of thing, innit? I don't know. What's yours?
Mine, it changes, but I'd say it was to find meaning, like a personal meaning, not like the meaning for everyone in life.
Yes.
I mean, like what finding yourself a purpose, even if the world like is fucking crumbling around you, to find purpose in that within your own life, to make you want to get out of bed, make your bed, fucking, I mean, go out and be the best person you can be, not just for yourself or selfish gains, but for the immediate people and the extended people around you. If you can find meaning, because you will need meaning, otherwise you will not do those things. Do you know what I mean?
I like that answer. Can you ask me again and I'll just say that?
What is your personal meaning of life?
Well, to find meaning. But not just other people's, but your own personal meaning, because then you won't do those things.
So.
Happiness.
Huh?
What?
Happiness.
Yeah, she's just stoked with happiness. I don't think there's nothing wrong with happiness being a fucking meaning of life.
That is the meaning of life. But because, what else are you supposed to do? That's the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Because for like the meaning... is what leads to happiness, I think.
Yeah.
So you find the meaning. Fulfillment. The fulfillment is what becomes happiness, I think. It's like, yeah. Yeah.
Joy is good. Joy is always good to bring to people.
Yeah.
Other people.
Yeah, because you can bring joy to yourself by bringing joy to other people around you, finding your own little ways of doing things,
yeah.
appreciating small things.
So for that, on that note, it's like the if you go to like a checkout, right, or a cashier, and when you pay her, you've got a big smile on your face. Right, your genuine fucking smile. I don't know. Say, for example, say you've been in the queue, and your child or your missus or whoever or someone's just made you fucking smile and laugh. Mm. And then when you go to have your interaction then with the cashier, that true smile, even if it's not, even if it's just a smile of like hello, like meaning you're happy, that exchange for that person, even though they haven't been, they're not laughing or happy at the thing that you have been, is a ripple outwards, and a they can ripple. That I think that effect like ripples outwards, like yeah, your then, happiness and your joy is, yeah.
But then what if she gets hit by a bus? Then the ripple ends there.
It does, but they just got, it's yeah
no, I'm only joking, I don't believe that. Maybe a little bit,
yeah,
I,
but
I
it's,
think that's bring happiness on top, like it's really easy to be like, oh, how are you doing, are you having a good day,
yeah,
completely change that person,
yeah.
For anyone that's like worked in retail or worked in a bar, like you just like, well, you can look at that person and go, that's a person, they're experiencing their life, like
yeah.
It can be shit, don't add to it.
That's yeah. a good point, yeah, that's a good point.
Something to lift up from that.
It's like it's the trends as well, when you know, when you speak to someone, you're like, how was your day? And they're like, well, and you know, it's like trying to like empathize, but like try and like change what they're not change what they're saying, but like highlight like good things to try and like fucking take their mind. It's like, I mean, talk about good things,
yeah,
every time they're talking about something bad, like don't engage no matter how hard it is, because it's quite easy for you to go, yeah, actually it's really fucking shit and fucking COVID,
I don't really do that,
can't do anything, but like to then go, okay, like what's a positive thing, and just fucking change the trajectory of a conversation and like let that, because you both then leave that encounter both feeling more uplifted, where if you easily, which is the easy option,
but
to
the
get
other,
down,
other side,
you
of
both
that,
leave like, oh fucking hell, and then you're
the other side
to
of that
else,
is
oh,
though
well.
If you do just empathize with them, and then you then they might feel listened to, innit, as opposed
yeah.
to, because if I'm really depressed or whatever and I go and speak to you and I'm like, oh mate, all this stuff's happening, and you're like, yeah, but look at all this good
yeah.
stuff, I'd be like
yeah
really get
but then again, like if you're genuinely depressed and you're coming to me with like fucking
yeah, I suppose I don't want you to just be like, oh yeah, it's rubbish,
yeah,
just live with
like,
it
but like yeah, you might as well kill yourself, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking end, didn't I? But do you mean like, it's like if someone comes to you and they're like genuinely distressed, I think you can pick up on that as a human being, like rather than someone who's just like
just
annoyed because
yeah,
their fucking their air traffic controller has went on strike, so
yeah.
their holiday to fucking somewhere has been postponed, and fucking like whilst these things are annoying, like or whatever, like it's like there's a difference between someone having like a bad chain of events.
Yeah, I'm just being a contrarian, I think.
Do you mean rather than yeah, someone yeah. having a, yeah, like a difference between a bad chain of events or just moaning for the sake of moaning, than someone who's like, actually I'm struggling or whatever, like mm. you mean, they might have like dealing with grief or fucking real loss or whatever, like yeah, you man. Mean. But then I still, at the same time, you're right, I don't think you should just because someone, everyone's more sensitive than another person, aren't they? So someone could be a lot more affected by certain things more than other people. Other people could be like, what the fuck you want about it? Fucking, what do you mean? You call that a fucking problem? But like to that person, yeah. it could be like fucking, oh, and they could feel like belittled. So it is, again, I suppose, like you
people
said, being
funny,
in tune man. With people,
yeah.
as being a teacher, like being in tune with those children that are less confident.
Yeah.
And picking up on that rather than, like you said, going, come on, no, come up, you've got to read in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And like that fucking kid's like, no, you come up here and you fucking read in front of the class. Well, you're going to say, fuck, were you? Teacher, primary school teacher. You get up and you read in front of the class. Fucking, I could never be a teacher, man.
I feel, yeah, I used to worry that I might accidentally swear, but it's like a switch in your head. You just don't.
Yeah.
You know. It's like work mode or phone voice, isn't it?
So yeah. Hello. Yeah. Welcome to the class.
No, I have pretty much the same disposition and voice and stuff. I just don't. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't swear.
Yeah.
But I don't swear anyway.
Do you find it controls you every day? Because I'm like, oh, you can switch off swearing. It's like, well, I don't actually just need to.
Yeah, I haven't sworn during this whole podcast
maybe
at all.
Are.
No.
Do you want to do it now?
No.
The volume up.
The, since having kids.
Yeah.
I never realised how much profanity was in the music
yeah.
that I listened to.
Same here, it's bad, isn't it? But I don't know if it's that bad, to be honest. Because I used to watch South Park at like 10 and it never harmed me.
Have you seen the trailer for the post-COVID one?
I think so.
Have you seen that?
Is it?
I've never watched it.
Like, I've never watched South Park.
It's my favourite TV show.
I saw there was like a video game where one of them had like an alien stick a massive dildo up on that. I was like, oh, right, so, fair enough.
Yeah.
I've never seen it though. Like,
they're very on point with everything.
Yeah, you're too young for it.
But even like the modern ones that they're bringing out now, they're very in tune with the political spectrum of how the world is.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like on point. And they've done a post-COVID one. And I haven't watched it yet. I really want to watch it. They're all grown up.
Oh, really? I've got to see
Cartman
that.
Cartman is a rabbi.
Oh, my gosh.
And like Cartman, so Cartman was always like, he would always take the piss out of like Kyle for like
being Jewish.
A Jew.
Yeah.
And like he would like always like, do you mean it's like for him to be a rabbi, it's like almost like the ultimate fuck you to Kyle. And it's like, yeah. Oh my God. Like, do you mean it's like, but they're all grown up, they're all adults. And yeah, it's,
that sounds amazing.
And Butters is like an NFT salesman. Like he's like, so they're like, they go, there's a little trailer of the like the clip, and Butters is in the fucking, he's in the cell, and they go in to like grown up Stan and Kyle go to see him.
Yeah.
And they're like, they go and he's called Vic Chaos. And they're like, they speak to the doctor before they go, and he goes, yeah. And they're like, they got the dramatic music. It's like, after COVID, when all the other children were allowed back out to play, his parents wouldn't let him back out to play, and he kept in his room, and he was under house arrest for the whole time. And like, he's like reeling off like these, like, you know, on YouTube, it's like, you can make fucking $40,000 by investing in a buy the lip with no money down, sell some NFTs, invest in crypto. And it's like all these adverts in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like one of them, and he's like, I can make you a shitload of money. And it's like, but as he's growing up, he's like, yeah, NFTs. And when he says the word NFTs, it's like the trigger, and they come in and like, start spraying him with like fire and like the mental homeless start beating him, and that it's like, oh my god, so like in tune with what was going on. And he was like saying, so there's another one like with like immigrants are like coming in to take all their work, but the immigrants are from the future. They've worked out how to create a time machine because there's no jobs in the future.
Oh, I think I've seen that one. Yeah,
they're coming back in the past to like fucking, and they're like, it's like they have this like, I know how we can stop them. We all become gay and fuck each other, and then we won't ever reproduce. So they won't like, there will be no future in that.
Oh,
stop
yeah,
them
I haven't
back.
Seen that one.
And they're like, there's like a massive pile of blokes. They're all having this massive gay orgy. It's like so like it's like it's fucking genius. Like, you know, it's pure genius.
It's definitely a kids program.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, cool, safe.
That it.
That's it.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, Addy Roots, a.k.a. Twisted Roots. Bang, clap. Bang, weird with one clap. Yeah, safe.
Do you know, you should get Damien Badger on here.
He's supposed to come on.
He'll be interesting.
He is supposed to come on. Roscoe. Oh, fuck, we forgot to listen to what Roscoe said. Oh, have you stopped recording?
No.
We're still recording. One's got to go. Roscoe.
All right, Aiden. Question one. Charles Dickens or Roald Dahl?
One's got to go. Charles Dickens or Roald Dahl?
I think probably Charles Dickens.
It's got to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Question two. Wiley. Dizzy Rascal.
As in one's got to go.
One's got to go.
Dizzy Rascal. I love Wiley. Okay. Wiley's wicked.
Yeah.
Question three. let's go.
Come on, Roscoe.
Asian cuisine.
I'm so glad he said cuisine.
Oh, well, what was it? Asian or what? Oh, yeah, I'm glad he did as well. I was just like, what?
Question four. Asian cuisine or Caribbean cuisine?
To be honest, Caribbean.
Yeah?
Overall, yeah.
Asia's huge, though.
Yeah.
Because that's what I mean.
Oh, that is a lot.
That's what I mean.
Like,
it's
Indian food.
Indian.
It's the one for me, man.
I've started trying fish Indian.
Mm.
Oh, incredible.
There's, what is that?
Like Indian, but like,
but with
so obviously
fish.
There's coastal India, so they have like fish, things like that. I've just cooked really much fresh fish with just a few spices. I've just got a cookbook recently about it. Oh, it's incredible. Like the things you can do, it's not like, it's fairly limited just going to like a curry house.
Yeah.
That's not what curry they eat anyway.
Nah, it's more like, Western.
So my mate at uni was like, was Indian, so I used to go back and his like grandma would like make me food. Yeah. Like, just force feed me, it was wonderful. But like they make the samosas, yeah, for the shop and everything. But when they had curry, it was just like, oh, meat curry, vegetable curry.
And they don't eat a lot of meat either, do they? Actually, in India, hardly anyone eats meat. Yeah. And cows, like, fucking, they're sacred animals. Yeah.
Question four. Let's go auto-tune. Or, like, I don't know.
Not auto-tune?
So you can have reverb and shit like that.
What?
Auto-tune.
Or no auto tune. Fuck's sake, Rocco. Auto tune or no auto tune?
Nowadays, I'm thinking no auto tune, but I used to abuse it back in the day, as you know.
Don't
you?
Yeah.
And question five: Super Best Friends.
Ah, yes.
Or Grey Sundays.
Ah, Super Best Friends.
Got to go.
Huh?
What's got to go?
Oh, no, no. Grey Sundays, going.
Okay. There we go.
Super Best Friends is the one.
There you go. I'll close that out again. Ladies and gentlemen, Addy Roots, aka Twisted Roots. Wicked.